Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Elias.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be the E3 recap show. We can talk about all the latest, hottest stuff from Nintendo's their E3 presentation. You guys excited? I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Things are happening.
Yeah, sure are. Before we get into it, though, I do need to say, I don't know what happened to the audio quality of the last episode. Things got fucked up.
Did they?
Yeah, it's probably not the worst podcast we've ever posted. Yeah. But yeah, there's this weird popping sound. About 8 or 9 minutes into it, it just started up, and then every few seconds you get like some popping. I don't know if maybe the wire got knocked loose, but me and Mika did a sound test earlier today. Everything should be fine.
Did you do it for at least 10 minutes to find out if the problem occurs 9 minutes in?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, jeez. We better be recording these in like little 6 minute bursts.
We do like 6 minute podcasts every couple of hours.
Exactly.
So, how are things? How are you guys doing? You guys all right?
Doing great.
Okay. Yeah.
Red Sox probably embarrassed about giving up 8 runs. But they'd put up 10 runs.
Right? I mean, that's kind of been...
Dear God.
That's kind of been the thing the past 2 weeks. Like, I hope they score 7 or 8 runs, because they're going to give up 6.
They're and like it's been 42 and 27. They're killing it right now.
Yeah, they're... I think, as of yesterday, they have an off day today.
They're like...
On Thursday.
They've got a 6-game... I mean, granted, they're not in charge of the division right now. That sucks. But they're like 6.5 games ahead of the Yankees.
Yeah, they're a game back of the Rays as of today. Rays are playing in Seattle tonight.
Yeah.
Red Sox have a day off. But yeah, the division has separated a bit. Like, there's still time for Toronto and the Yankees to catch up. But right now, they're kind of beating up on each other and both kind of hovering around 500. Whereas the Red Sox and the Rays both have over 40 wins. And... there's a lot of division games coming up over the next couple of months. So,
yeah,
it's gonna be a real fight. Mm. As long as the Yankees keep sucking, everything will be fine.
Yeah, I think all's right in the world.
Yep.
NBA's happening.
Sure is.
You're probably not trying to talk about any of this.
This is the E3 show. What are we doing?
A lot of stuff's happening in the
NBA. Whatever we want.
Yeah. For starters, Philadelphia is crumbling. Philadelphia, I think, had like the number 1 or 2 record in the East.
Are they in the conference finals yet, or are they still in
the... They're still in the semis. They're trying to get out of the semis, but the Hawks now have a 3-2 lead over them. Get this. They had, I think, a 20-point lead going into the fourth quarter lost by 3.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That should be garbage time at that point.
Right. Yeah. It was like...
I didn't know Philadelphia had a team.
They do. The 76ers.
Oh, that's Philadelphia.
I was going to say the Flipadelphias.
Yeah, the Flipadelphias.
Oh.
Yeah, they kind of get a little of everything, don't they? They've got they got hockey, baseball,
football.
Basketball.
Yeah, they got all 4 major sports.
Yeah. How about that? Same with Pittsburgh. No, Pittsburgh doesn't have a basketball team. It's the one thing they're missing. Yeah. At any rate, that happened.
I mean, Chicago has a couple each. LA has a couple each.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of unfair, but so it goes. I guess that's them's the breaks, as they say. Winnipeg has a hockey team. The fuck? Who gives a shit about Winnipeg? Nobody. I'll tell you. I'll answer that question for you right now, rhetorically asked. Nobody gives a fuck about Winnipeg.
Well, I'm sure like the enthusiasm for hockey is quite increased once you cross that northern border.
I think Winnipegas give a fuck about Winnipeg.
No, they don't even care.
No, they're trying to get the hell out. It's just it's too cold and they love a car.
they wake up every morning like, oh shit, I'm still here.
Yeah. Shit's the old time.
Oh, yeah. And so the Nets are trying
John to... John got that reference.
Yeah. Did I miss it? What were you saying?
I said, oh, shit, it's the old times. Yeah. That's an old John... That's a John Mulaney stand-up.
Oh,
really good one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Nets are ahead now in a series with the Bucks, but their whole team's fucking injured. Kawhi Leonard may have tore his ACL. And Chris Paul... So,
still playing.
That man
is immortal, isn't he?
You probably haven't heard the news.
Shit, I jinxed him.
Yeah, no, he jinxed his fucking self by existing. Somebody even joked where they were like, this guy Nick Young, whose name is Swaggy P, he is a basketball player and his name's fucking Swaggy P.
Wait. His name is Nick Young, but he's called Swaggy P.
Yeah, that's his name.
Where's the pee come from?
You got me, man. I don't know.
It's a urinary issue, John, all right? We don't bring attention to
it. He's got like 3 urethras, so it just kind of sprays everywhere.
It's just a broken fire hose. I mean, it's just...
Okay.
Yeah, but he basically said, you're not... He by Twitter, said something to the effect of, you're not living your life right. Someone is after you. You need to change your ways and pray to God. because guess who just entered COVID protocol and just tested positive for COVID? Chris Paul.
Shit.
This is like all the other teams around him are injured to death and crumbling and falling apart.
How the fuck is he not vaccinated yet?
And he is probably going to, if he has this, he's going to be out for like the rest of the fucking playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is his chance. This is his opportunity. He's been dogged so many times in the playoffs. Like, this guy deserves a good run deep into the playoffs. And he ends up with COVID. And he was vaccinated. So people are thinking this is probably a false positive because he was vaccinated back in February. But there's still like a 0.5% chance you can still get COVID with the vaccination.
Yeah.
So, sounds like a condom. I mean, it's only...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the effectiveness of condoms goes way up if you're using it right.
Well, and also keep in mind, it's not that the condom fails. It's that, you know, there's user error and with the condom.
All right, I was also referencing an old episode of Friends, but I did it really badly.
All right, that was lost on this audience.
That was a really obscure reference.
I think I've seen maybe four episodes of Friends in their entirety in my life.
I enjoy Friends.
Okay, you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. It's very low effort, but I mean,
it is.
What's the harm in liking something low effort? Yeah. Shouldn't judge you for it.
Oh, you're friends with me.
Yeah. Speaking of comedians, though, did you guys see that Inside, that new stand-up special?
No, not yet.
Ooh.
The Bo Burnham one.
Yeah, it's for real.
The guy who kind of looks like you.
Does he?
Vaguely.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, out of the three of us, he looks the most like you. But,
well,
you
that's know, like saying Sam Jackson looks the most like Wes.
We look
nothing alike. I don't know who Sam Jackson is.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like saying John looks like Rasheed Wallace. Just a little bit in the cheekbones.
We're both gracefully tall.
Yes.
And have bad attitudes.
Oh, yeah. But his stand-up special, it's like, it has moments of funny, but it's mostly tragic and a little bit depressing.
Because
he basically is... He filmed it all in basically the attic of his house for over the course of a year because he self-isolated and just filmed everything was done by him. There was literally only one direct credit in the entire production of it, and it's him. So that means, you know, he did all of the editing, played all of the instruments, recorded everything, filmed it, did all of the lighting effects. It's all him. And yeah, there's definitely some funny stuff in it, but oh my god, it's like you're watching someone just perform, vivisect themselves with their neuroses. He just kind of just goes off. It's really depressing at times. But good. But it's one of the things that's so good. It's really, really, really good. Deserves it's like 96% of whatever.
I'm going to pass Metacritic. On that.
Yeah.
You know it's not depressing, but also good?
E3.
Oh! So, and Nintendo had their presentation. It was a 38-plus minute presentation where they talked about a bunch of stuff. I have it all written down here. Is there anything you guys want to start with?
Let's just talk about the first thing that they showed us was Ganon.
Nope. We're going to start. The first thing that we're going to discuss.
You can't really just cut someone off like that.
I am, because this happened before this. So, I apologize, my friend.
What, you mean the two dudes talking?
Yes. Because okay. There's one thing about the two dudes talking that I have to point out. Is that their snaps weren't in sync. And the other guy kind of like paused and look at his face. He's like, why didn't you fucking snap with me? And there's a long pause in between snaps. It was like, the second guy snapped and the director was like, fuck it, this is the 40th take, let's just go with it. Like, it just...
You know, the funny thing is, I know exactly what we're talking about, because like throughout the whole video, when they were... I don't think they were streaming it. Well, when it was originally broadcast, yeah, it was streamed. But now that there's a video uploaded of the thing in its entirety, it's synced back up.
Oh.
So they remixed the sound.
I very quickly saw that moment, and I thought the read was that, like, he snapped before he was supposed to and stole the snap from the other guy. And so he was like, ooh.
You motherfucker.
It'd be funny if, like, it was a competition.
Dishonor. Grave dishonor.
Okay, so they weren't film saying next to each other? They edited them together or something? Like, I don't...
They were probably next to each other, but when they uploaded the video, they just, like... cut the snap sound and put it in earlier. So
one snapped, and then there was a pause, and then the other guy snapped. Like, they physically snapped at different times.
I'm gonna have to watch that part again to see if, like, it actually happens at different times.
Like, he snapped, sat
this
there,
is
and then
the
other
of
the guy
video
snapped.
You need to rewatch.
Yeah, well...
It was just weird to me. It's like, why didn't they snap together, and the other guy is just kind of, like, hanging there
I've watched it three times. I know the important stuff. And let's get to the important stuff now.
Just the snap was weird. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I do love that literally the first thing that they show you is Ganon.
Yeah.
And he's dead, and you're like, holy shit, Breath of the Wild 2. Right. It's like them introducing a Smash character.
It's a nice
it's,
little...
It's really funny. Yeah.
It's a nice little troll. And, you know, whenever they introduce Smash characters, they do like to have some sort of troll in there. But yeah, it's that that new Smash Fighter led off the show. Kazuya from Tekken.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is. You guys know who this is? I don't know anything about Tekken.
Yeah, he's like the main Tekken guy.
Tekken's okay. Like a polygonal like 3D fighter.
Right. I'm sure. I know anything about Tekken.
I didn't know if you knew the difference between that and, say, King of Fighters or something. You know?
If you, like, showed me a roster of, like, Tekken and King of Fighters, I might be able to tell the difference.
Okay.
But...
Well, yeah, it's not like a 2D pixel art arcade fighter. It's not a brawler. Tekken is, yeah, it's like a fully 3D polygonal thing, and you kind of move and kind of parry around each other and shit.
Depends on how old a Tekken game is.
Yeah.
Because, like, Tekken 3, I think it was just a straight-up fighter, and then I played a little bit of Tekken Tag, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. I went now.
But this guy's a punchy puncher.
Punchy puncher. He has an uppercut. And, you know,
yeah, he's like the Ryu. Like you were saying, he's like the Ryu of
He also has, like, a Tekken. Demon. And, like, it looks like when he does a Smash move, he becomes, like, a demon.
Yeah, I think that was... I don't know what the deal is with that, because that wasn't a thing, at least in the two Tekkens that I played. That wasn't a... It was like a story thing, and the demon form of him was a different character you could unlock.
All right. Well, whatever. This is a mercifully short segment. I say that. This introduction of the Smash Fighter was about 10% of their total show, showing off this guy.
They sure gave us a lot of that, huh?
Yeah, it was completely unnecessary.
But
look at every move. Here's his crouch.
And there's going to be more. They're doing a dedicated video on the 28th to break this down even further.
There's a crap out this guy.
Maybe that's them telling us that Smash is still important.
Maybe.
You know, they're like, we're not going back to Splatoon.
but they are! Splatoon 3 next year.
But they're not going to support it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I think, then the guy, like, proceeds to, like, throw a bunch of people into a volcano. It must be some sort of meme or something. But then, like, it was fun because Kirby just, like, no, you can't kill
Kirby. I saw that coming a mile away.
Well, yeah, because Kirby's immortal. He can't be killed.
No.
Even if you throw him into a volcano, he's going to float away. I assume they'll have a release date for this character when they have their presentation on the 28th. There's over 80 characters now in Smash.
Oh my god.
That's great.
I suppose.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Proud of them.
Where do you guys want to go next? You just want to keep on going chronologically?
Go in order, yeah. Just burn through this in order.
Life is Strange True Colors and Life is Strange Remastered.
I don't care.
It's a narrative game, so you guys hate stories and all that, so...
Well, they're like detective games, where you, like, go through this narrative adventure and, like, have to talk to these people and come to some sort of conclusion. I don't know if there's a double jump, but maybe...
Just by the looks of it, I'm going to say maybe no.
Yeah.
But they look like pretty adventurous women.
Mm.
They could be doing double, triple jumps for all we know.
they could be burrowing the ground.
Yeah, you know, they may have a down smash.
Maybe.
Just saying.
I feel like everybody should have a down smash.
Yeah.
But these games do come with some notoriety. They're well-liked indie games. The Life is Strange True Colors, that is the latest entry in the series. That one's out on the 10th of September. And then Life is Strange Remastered, I think it's the first two games in the series. That one's also out this year, the remaster of those. And both of these are new releases. They're coming out day and date on other platforms. It's not like these are straight ports from older systems, so... I don't know. Kind of cool, I suppose.
That is pretty sweet.
Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is out on October the 26th, running on a cloud version. This game isn't getting a physical or a digital release. You'll have to pay some money for Square Enix to stream it to you, and then one day it could just go away. And
yeah, that's a pass on me. It was a pass on me anyways, but...
Yeah, you know, I think it looks like a fairly competent action game. It was maybe sort of like a Ultimate Alliance 3 or something like that, some of that sort of caliber.
Did you get the sense that you could play anybody other than Star-Lord? It feels like you were exclusively playing Star-Lord.
I think you can probably play as other characters. Maybe there's like scripted segments where you have to play as Star-Lord in this area and in this section you're playing as Groot or something like that. I don't know how you'll be, if you'll be able to swap at will between any of them. Maybe there will be some parts of the game like that. They showed a ton of this game at the Square Enix presentations. Square Enix did their own thing. It was an hour long. Yeah, they showed like 20 minutes of this game.
Okay, so we get literally 30 seconds.
Right. There is some obnoxious banter between all the characters. Like you might expect in the Guardians of the Galaxy, especially based on like the MCU version of these characters. But they really do not shut up. There is constant dialogue as they're doing all, like, they're fighting between all these characters.
Do any of them ever say that it's Rhine time?
No, but that would have made it better.
It would have.
Because it is always Rhine time.
They need to just make an obscure reference like that. I mean, come on.
Man, what a bunch of jokers. Just give them one of those every once in a while. I think so.
Hey, the enemy's weak, but don't drop your guard.
Yes.
So, Worms Rumble is out actually in a few days here on June 23rd.
Nice. That's cool.
These games keep coming out.
That's a Team 17.
Yep. Somebody must be buying them because they keep making them.
Yeah.
Astria Ascending, that's a little indie RPG. It's got a nice visual style. That one's out on September the 30th. I'm always down for a turn-taking RPG.
Yeah, it looked good. I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah, I like the sort of a 2D pixel art style, but like hyper-detailed kind of stuff.
Here's the thing, though. This looks like the ads that I see for mobile games.
It's true. Yeah, it is.
There's something about that. Shadow Legends.
There's something about that art style that just, I don't know.
And then, like, the animations aren't, like, particularly fluid. Like, it's kind of like, almost like paper dolls moving around or something.
It looks beautiful, though. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it just has that feel of a free-to-play mobile game.
As far as I'm aware, this is a new game. I don't think it's a port of anything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a console exclusive, release at time exclusive to Switch at launch here. So hopefully a little bit more, depth to it, or a little bit more care to it than a mobile game.
I'm sure there's point. They're not going to be making you burn resources and excessive grinding.
You get 5 gems a day, but then you can buy more to make things go faster.
Precisely.
Mm. 2 Point Campus. That game's from Sega, coming out in 2022.
Yeah, I vaguely remember there being, what is it, 2 Point...
County? Something like that, I think is what they said in the video.
Yeah. I remember that, it was a... And I love that they established that it was a family-friendly resource management game. Like, there's a bunch of, like R-rated resource management games. There's
that human trafficking one.
Right. And, yeah, it's the one with the strip club. You're just managing dildos and ball gags the whole time.
Like,
what do you think they do at strip clubs? What is your...
I don't know. I'm trying to go extreme with this analogy.
But this is a like a college campus building simulator, like a Sim City, but for a college campus, I suppose. Yeah. I don't know.
I just hope it has... Because there was that trailer we watched maybe 2 months ago for like a city, but like a...
Oh, with the popping sound.
And I just hope there's popping sounds everywhere.
There's got to be.
Yeah. Unless I want to feel like I'm just snapping off bubble wrap or something as I play the game. It's so satisfying.
Another game from Sega, Monkey Ball Banana Mania.
Oh, hell yeah. I was literally lamenting not that long ago that there hasn't been a Monkey Ball game in forever.
Right. And this one's out October the 5th. They were listening.
They were.
Sure so enough. What they did is they took a collection of stages and minigames from previous...
Let's be real. They released everything. We have a long way to go. They just did everything.
Right. It was like, what are we laying around?
Like, oh yeah, Monkey Ball. Fucking Monkey Ball. Let's do it. Let's fucking get it right in their grill.
See, I find one thing weird about video games when they do... This is the 25th anniversary or 20-year anniversary. But at one point, you just cut off the anniversary thing after, like, how many years has it been since we got a brand new Monkey Ball game? Like, can you really call it an anniversary? It's like...
If it was Base 8, we'd be like, oh, 24 years. It's the 3 cycles.
Right. You know? It is funny how we do love our Base 5 anniversaries.
Yeah.
27th anniversary, no one gives a shit. Like, 29, it's the highest prime number we'll probably ever see.
Yeah. I find this because we were looking so much... I've been looking so much into music for the podcast, the retro show. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many, like, 20th anniversary reviews... that are 1 year old that I found.
Right. Because for some reason we do 21 years.
Right, yeah. This is a little bit behind the curve.
It's just as arbitrary as everything else.
I agree. Yeah. Anyway. I'm kind of excited for this Monkey Ball game.
Yeah, it's a collection of stages and minigames from previous Monkey Ball games remastered. I mean, it'd be kind of cool. Like, I think I'm going to say this a few times. It'd be cool if they made a new game, but, you know, it's 20 years old, so...
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
It's going to be new to a lot of people.
Right. And it's a Super Monkey Ball, and it's about bananas, and, like, they have Donkey Kong, and his M.O.
You think it's going to be a crossover?
Yeah, I feel like it's ripe for a crossover.
I thought it was a Donkey Kong at first, when you're, like, seeing that thing off to come from the side. I'm like, this is going to be a banana, boom, Donkey Kong... And that stupid little chimp showed up, and I wept.
Because there's a different sort of simian.
Like, come on.
Well, at least, like, wait, Diddy Kong and who's
Dixie?
Dixie Kong could be in the mix because they're appropriately sized. I get it. He's a gorilla. He's technically not a monkey. But, you know, no, just saying.
Diddy Kong is a chimp.
I don't know.
Donkey Kong's a...
A gorilla.
Yeah, Donkey Kong is, but Diddy Kong isn't. Diddy Kong has a freaking tail.
That's what I'm saying. Diddy Kong and Dixie could be in this because they are legit.
You said because
monkeys.
Of size. But then you said something about... Never mind, forget.
why is this...
This is the dumbest...
why is this a conversation?
If it was I completely misunderstood.
If it was unclear, my point was Donkey is bigger than Diddy, and Donkey is a primate, and he is
okay.
a monkey.
I thought you were also implying that Diddy was also a monkey.
Yes, because of his oversized upper body.
It didn't make any sense. I was like, that's not right.
Yes, and his ability to ground.
This is the kind of super conversations we have.
But you know what? I've changed my mind. Sega, make a new game, you cowards.
Yeah, they're afraid to.
Speaking of cowards who don't want to make a new game.
What's Mario Konami up to?
Mario Party Superstars.
Oh, never mind.
Konami's not up to fuck all.
You saw that cake level, though, right?
It looks good.
That was a good level.
Oh. I do remember that level. Ooh. That one in the space level.
So there has... I joke around. They have done work to update a bunch of levels, especially from, like, the N64 era. Like, and Nintendo does a really good job of, like, making food look appealing in video games. And, yeah, it's a collection of board games and minigames from previous Mario Party games. Also has online play from day one, which... It's something that they added into their previous Mario Party game just like a month ago.
Now, this is a standalone game. It's not an add-on, right?
Right.
Okay.
But if I were to put on my tinfoil hat, I would probably guess that this was probably going to be DLC at some point. It just strikes me as weird that they just added online play to their game that came out 2 years ago, last month, and then they announced this new game that's remake levels with online play out of the box.
Yeah.
I know it's just strange. So my own conspiracy is this was planned to be DLC, but they were looking at their first party lineup and like, we need like one or two more things. That Mario Party DLC, cut it out. Let's make that its own retail package.
Do they though?
Do they need... I don't know. I think you look at the lineup. There's a ton of things.
We're not even like a third of the way through the reveals here.
There's a ton of things I'm excited about, but the things that I'm excited about are not things that sell millions and millions like Mario Party does.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but I'll have you know that Worms Rumble is guaranteed to sell 5 million copies.
Sure it is.
Moving on.
But yeah, this Mario Party game, I mean, I already have a Mario Party game. I think it's all I need for a Switch. I'll need another one.
And I don't want to... I get mad enough at my friends when they beat me in Mario Party. After I crush all the minigames, mind you.
Yeah. Of course.
I don't want to go on with randos online.
And watch your victory melt away because they hit the most red spaces?
Yeah. You know?
And I get mad enough that I have to play Mario Party.
Just wait till I have to play Skyward Sword.
Oh, goddammit.
I'm not going to let you forget.
Oh, fucking A. I was literally just talking to Jeff about this earlier.
Yeah?
Because the new World of Warcraft patch update is announced, and I'm like, I gotta play Skyward Sword.
It's okay. It doesn't take long. Like 40, 50 hours. Goddammit. And you'll be through it.
That's what it was. We were talking, Jeff mentioned, I'll bring those up later when we get to it. Go on.
Okay.
What's the next game?
Metroid Dread.
Yeah, this looks right.
Guys, it looks so fucking good.
It does look good.
It looks so fucking good.
Like, we're sorry we don't have a Metroid game to talk about, so here's a Metroid game.
Right. And it's a 2D Metroid game.
This looks for real.
There are stalker robots. Yeah. There's an invisibility suit. There's a melee counter that can also just be used as an attack. It looks so fucking good.
This looks fantastic.
Yep. The backgrounds look tremendous. Like, all the detail they put into creating this environment. They didn't show any like the typical Metroid tools, so you don't see like a morph ball with Samus as a slide, so we don't know like what sort of things are going to be back and what sort of things are going to remain out.
So this is going to be like a Resident Evil Metroidvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be tons of those sequences where you're just getting fucking chased through the the raccoon police department.
and the invisibility suit looks really intriguing because that's like your sort of counter to it, where you can you're wearing your Mario Tanuki suit, just turn into a statue, and all the enemies just get confused and leave you alone. But yeah, Wes, what do you think?
I mean,
chime in.
I never actually was able to get through one of these 2D
Never?
Metroid games. No.
That's okay.
I always end up stopping.
There's only been four of them.
I've had a long, hard time recently just getting through a fucking game. Hmm. I keep starting games and then getting distracted by other games. You can't fucking get through a game.
Well, because you spend so much time playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, and there is a game that fucking ending. Yeah, exactly.
You should stop that.
I do. I need to beat a game. But yeah, it looks good. I was telling you earlier before we were recording, it looks like there's a few games on this reveal list. It's like, that's going to be a good game to borrow from John when he's done with it.
You know what's funny is I just watched a video on the hypothetical best possible human speed run of the original Mario game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they started to, because it was sort of like, this is the Taz run, you know, the tool-assisted speed runs. And people were like, nobody could ever achieve this. But then they were like, but what if we can, though? And they were like trying to do it level by level to see if anybody could get the exact frame count correct. Because there's this weird system in which the time that you actually hit the flag and go through the castle at the end to complete the level, there's sort of a countdown that determines when that goes. So you don't necessarily have to be frame perfect. You will have about a third of a second on every level to play with. That's a neededly minutia of it, but that's a game you could beat in, I think, like 8 minutes and 48 seconds.
All right, I'm on it.
So there you go. If you do it as fast as a computer possibly could for each of the necessary 8 levels.
I got it.
You can beat that game for sure.
Yep.
You can do it in 7 minutes. I have faith in you.
Yeah.
There's some cool Metroid speedruns out there, too. Like, Super Metroid, people like break the shit out of that game.
Yeah.
But this Metroid Dread looks really good. Oh, and it's a game that is like back from the dead because it was...
I heard about this, yeah.
Once in development for the original DS, and Nintendo even like confirmed its existence once or twice because it showed up like on a release list or like a in development list that they had at an investor briefing.
I was about to say, some reviewer saw them making some cases for something and immediately...
Someone at Bloomberg knows something about supply chains, so they... but yeah, like, and then like just at some point it disappeared from all the release lists and everyone was like, hey, what happened to it? And I don't think they ever addressed it until like someone at an investor briefing asked, because at these investor briefing QAs you're not allowed to lie to your investors. So they're like, hey, what happened to this game? And they had to like say like, oh, we've canceled it, it's no longer in development. But now it looks like it's been resurrected, at least in name, because we never really got a look at what it was back on the DS. But yeah. And it's Mercury Steam. They developed Return of Samus, or Samus Returns, on the 3DS a few years back. So they're partnering again with Nintendo to develop this.
And they're releasing some plastic with it?
They're releasing an amiibo, which you can't get. It's already sold out, along with a special edition.
Are there two amiibos in it, technically?
Are they separate? I'm not sure. I don't know. They said amiibo, and I kind of tuned out.
It's a big ass amiibo. It's
so it's Samus and the robot.
Yeah, but it's like
maybe
they're a little distance from each other from the picture that I saw. Like that thing had huge.
Maybe what it is it's two amiibo, but they're selling it as a pack. They did it with Splatoon.
Yeah,
that's got to be it.
That makes more sense.
That's how you fast travel in the game without that.
Yeah, and you also tap that on your controller during Breath of the Wild. One pops up like a dog and just.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That's an amazing idea. But yeah, this is also titled Metroid 5 is how they led into it. So it looks like this could be wrapping up. There's a Treehouse Live where they demoed the game a bit, and I watched some of it. And the sort of creative lead behind Metroid was saying this was wrapping up the storyline of Samus and the sort of like Metroid, Super Metroid storyline. So like the... Anyway, I won't get too deep into the lore of Metroid, but Samus goes down to a planet. It's similar to the plot of Alien. Goes down to a planet, SR388, gets those Metroids out of there, and Metroids become like this sort of menace on whatever planet they show up on. So it looks like this is kind of wrapping up that storyline that sprang out of the events on that planet. Hmm. And then like all the Prime games get mixed in there. They sort of intercut that storyline. But anyway... On to the more important things. Just Dance 2022.
Yeah.
Out on November 4th.
I just like watching those people dance. Not gonna lie.
They really got a lot of energy, don't they?
They sure do.
Really get into it.
Yeah.
Cruisin' Blast is out this fall. This is a port of the arcade, the latest arcade cruisin' game. If you remember, like, Cruisin' USA, sure Cruisin' World. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think this game might be kind of sneaky good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna like blow the doors off of anything. But in some
there's
of
no
like
excite bots.
I think it's like you're reading my notes. I think like Excitebox might be the closest, analogy to this game because of like how zany the things are. Like you're like riding around dinosaurs and crashing through windows and dodging donuts and stuff. Like there, this game has like a wackiness to it or a bombastic design to it that reminded me a lot of Excitebox.
One was distinctly a Pegasus.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not racing all cars either. You're racing like different types of vehicles or animals.
There's a unicorn there.
You're racing a unicorn, exactly. Like somebody dropped a lot of acid and came up with some design ideas for this game. I'm intrigued. Some of the backgrounds, especially like the more naturalistic backgrounds, like mountains and shit like that, don't look particularly great. But when they're showing like structures and buildings and stuff, I think it looks all right.
I didn't see any chicks in bikinis though.
Maybe that's DLC.
Hopefully.
I'm going to buy the smutty content separately.
Oh, they should do that with games.
I mean, this is the E3 Direct. I don't necessarily think they're going to go all in with the most graphic content from the games.
Yeah,
if there were going to be a bunch of big-titted women in bikinis, they probably would not allow them to put that right up front.
Yeah, this is a cruising game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what they had in it. They had those weird girls
with the flag. Yeah.
With the flag, yeah.
That doesn't get you to notice the game in the
other thing
somehow.
It'll be there.
If not, then it compromises the artistic integrity of this entire franchise.
Yeah, in the spirit of the game.
Put the ladies in there, you cowards. Yes. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot plus a new Power Awakens is out September 24th. Anyone know what this game is? What is this game? Is this a new game? Is this a port?
It's more like an action RPG take.
Right? Yeah, they're weird though. I've played. I forget what it was that I played, but I played one of the Dragon Ball games that are like they're Dragon Ball something, but it's one of those free area games. You can actually fly around and stuff, you fight in the air and stuff. It's weird to control them, like it's a very awkward game.
And I find these Dragon Ball games inscrutable. Like if it's not just a straight up fighter, like what is this game even doing?
Yeah, but this one opposed to the other one, which had like a weird like time travel kind of story to it. It was very weird. This is just a straight up.
But
for those
better,
who know Dragon Ball,
time travel makes everything better.
Eh.
Everything.
For those listening that are Dragon Ball fans, this is actually just going to go through. You're playing as Kakarot through the anime.
Kakarot's a character?
Kakarot is Goku.
Yeah,
Kakarot is
the same original. That's what his name used
to
be.
His birth name.
What is it?
Okay.
Kal-El? Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Superman's name?
Yeah, he came to the planet as a baby, was raised as Goku. But his Saiyan name, which is the name of the planet and his race, is Kakarot.
Gotcha.
I was shocked when I was looking through the sales recently, just how much Dragon Ball content is currently available on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
There are like half a dozen games, maybe more.
Yeah.
That I saw just from skimming through.
I think it's Bandai Namco.
Yeah.
Who handles that series now? Yeah,
they'll do
they'll
it.
Pump those games out.
And they've heard good things about the game. I just don't like.
Fun.
It's just awkward to control it with the flying around, the aerial battles and stuff. It's just very weird.
And I'll bring up that Dragon Ball Z Fighter. Like, that game's for fucking real. Like, there was a super steep discount I got it on the Switch a little while ago.
Yeah, that game's no joke. It's
legit. Man, it is tight. It is one of the tightest, like, 2D fighters. Like, if it ever goes back on sale for, like, was it $9? Get it. It's worth it.
I already do have it. I did snag it up. Like a year or so ago,
nice.
When it was on sale.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of obscure fighting games, when is Tatsunoko versus Capcom coming to Switch?
Oh, wouldn't that be the dream?
Because remember that one back on Wii?
Yeah. Oh, that was fun.
Get to it, Capcom.
Mm.
Let's see, a couple of games we already knew about that are coming out pretty soon. Mario Golf Super Rush on the 25th.
Yep.
They talked how it would have free updates, courses, and characters after release, which is great because it's going to be free and everyone likes free stuff.
Can you play as that King Bomb guy?
Yes.
Oh my god, that's my character.
This
I'm calling it, I am claiming it. There's a dry bones, I don't care. I want to be the giant explosive ball.
This game looks fucking for real. Like,
yeah.
This Mario Golf.
I'm
looks
probably
fucking great.
I wasn't planning on picking this up, but this trailer kind of changed my opinion on it. It looks pretty freaking good.
It looks really good.
Yeah,
I'm all in for this game. Ryan, any thoughts on Mario Golf?
Oh, it looks awesome.
You board the hype train?
Yeah, I'm about it.
Cool. Monster Hunter Stories 2, that one's out July the 9th. They showed a lot more of this at the Capcom presentation.
I'm on board for this one, too. I didn't know how much of an RPG this game's like. This actually does look really good.
Yeah, it's like a straight-up JRPG.
Yeah, this looks really good to me.
Cool. There's a demo on the 25th.
Yeah, trying it.
Save data carries over, as it should. Every demo should just be like a beginning slice of the game and save data should carry over.
I want Pet Rathalos. Come on, let's go.
Yep.
Fuck some shit up. Give me a Pookie Pookie. Come on, that thing was amazing.
I should probably give these games a shot at some point because they're just more traditional JRPGs.
It's probably going to be more of your speed than the regular Monster Hunter game was.
Right, just get to grind on rando enemies rather than fight giant monsters for 20 minutes.
Yeah, but it was fun.
Yeah, it's fine.
God,
I'm not saying anything bad about Monster Hunter Rise. It's fine. Just not my thing. WarioWare Get It Together, which is a great
name. Oh, yeah. This is a highlight.
September the 10th.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be really silly fun.
I think so.
Yeah. I think my purchase will depend on whether or not the kids would get into it, so I'll have to show some trailers and see what they would think.
Yeah, this is the game that I will play when I come over to hang out. This is the thing we do a couple matches before podcast.
Right, because there's co-op.
Yeah.
Which is great.
This isn't like, I'm not buying this, because I'm not going to sit in my house playing this by myself. Like, no. This is a party game.
It is coming out at a lower price, I notice. It's $49 as opposed to $59.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, it is Wario, not Mario.
It's true. If you had the main guy in there.
They showed his offices where his people work. It looked pretty low budget.
His weird cast of people. Yeah. It's interesting, though, because like I guess you get to select your playable character, and they each do different things, so you're solving the little mini-games differently depending on who you're picking.
Very simplistic mini-games. So they would have to do something like that to make it more interesting. Then how many times can you shoot the thing out of the tree? Like, I don't...
I guess it would also depend on how many mini-game
things they have. That's like the formula of the WarioWare games in the past. There's like hundreds and hundreds of mini games.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going to do the same 20 over and over again. And again, you see how fast they play. And they're all so stupid. Like, the guy with ice cream's falling over.
Yeah, you just knock it over.
Or you got to pluck the underarm hairs off the statues as he makes the funny face. Like, this is classic Wario. So, I don't know. I mean, I really like the format of these WarioWare games. So, I'm pretty pumped.
Cool. I'm pretty pumped about Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Oh, God damn it. You would be. Yeah, I saw this. I'm like, God, John's got to change his pause it, change his pants, then come back.
This one's out on September the 12th. Or, sorry, November the 12th. Happy birthday to me. And, yeah, this is actually the first
time. On the 12th?
No, it's on the 13th. It's the next day. Okay. And this is the first time we actually saw game footage before we just, like, seen little teasers and stuff. I look so fucking good.
Is this a brand new Shin Megami?
This is a brand new game.
Okay.
Switch exclusive. It does have this desert aesthetic, at least in the first area that they showed, a lot like SMT3 Nocturne. Shin Megami Tensei 4 and 4 Apocalypse have these like more open areas, like they're showing in 5. But what 5 is doing differently is you actually see like the demon running around on the field like you would in like Pokemon Sword and Shield in the wild area.
Yeah.
Whereas Shin Megami Tensei 4 and 4 Apocalypse, you could see enemies running around on the field, but they were just like these generic avatars.
Like a shadow or something. And then
Like a shadow.
Yeah.
In older Persona games. But yeah, this you can actually like see the enemy running around. So like, hey, look, there's someone I need to add to my roster or something. You can go and, you know.
See, what happened was Shin Megami saw that from Pokemon Sword and Shield, the wild area, and went, oh my god, we need to bring
it. they probably already think, like, oh, we'll just like keep on doing what we did with 4. We'll have these open dungeon areas where you can just roam around wherever, as opposed to like having like these narrow corridors like they had in previous games. But then like they saw Sword and Shield, like, oh shit, we could do that too, right? We could have the penis chariot just riding around. Yeah, we should. Why haven't we done that yet? And it looks like they're taking cues for some other games that have these open areas where, you know, you have like your tyrant monsters that are roaming around the field that are much too powerful for you to take on at the time. They demoed this game at a Treehouse stream as well after the event, and they showed like roaming around like an open area where, you know, you're like level 7, 8, 9, and they picked a fight with an enemy like at level 43 and got absolutely demolished, which is pretty cool. Battle system looks very familiar, very typical of Shin Megami Tensei fare. I've talked about that a number of times on this podcast. Something that they did change in 4 Apocalypse is it became much easier to re-recruit demons. So, you know, when you go to try to catch your demon Pokemon thing, to use more familiar terms, you enter this negotiation phase where they're like going to ask you for money or items, and you can either choose to give them what they want or try to haggle with them a bit. But basically, once you either get rid of that demon that you've recruited or you fuse it to another demon who's off your roster, there are a couple of ways you can re-add that thing into your party if you want to. For any particular reason, you can pay money, which is generally pretty expensive depending on where you are in the game, to just kind of rehire one, or you could find one out in the wild and try to re-recruit it. And in older games, you had to go through like the whole negotiation process again. Sometimes it was successful, sometimes it was not. But in 4 Apocalypse, they pretty much said, if you've recruited this guy and he's no longer in your party, and you just find one out in the wild, if you just talk to it, like the demon will be like, oh yeah, I remember you. Mind if I tag along? And you just get these things back easier.
Now, was there multiple things that they can fuse into? Like, mm-hmm. What was... Okay.
Oh yeah, the fusion system is pretty complex in Shin Megami Tensei.
Stop humoring him.
Yeah, I don't even understand like the intricacies of it. I'm usually like looking at a guide, like, okay, how do I fuse the ones I want, and working backwards from there.
So you're gonna fuse your jack-o'-lantern and your cat.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Once they become useless to me, like, you're fusion fodder.
Does it make sense what they fuse into? Like, I can see how that. No.
It's like it.
I'm gonna fuse this jack-o'-lantern and cat, and here's my penis chariot.
Right. So it's kind of the opposite of Pokemon in that way, is that it does not have this intuitive system of like things leading logically into each other. There are like categories of demons, like these are tyrant demons and these are ghoul demons, these are deity demons, things like that. But they're not even all like type alignments like you would Pokemon, like fire Pokemon, you know, are going to behave a certain way. Whereas deity demons are not necessarily going to have the same weaknesses and resistances as other deity demons.
Hmm. Well, that doesn't make sense at all.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It's just so fucking good, though. I'm so pumped for this one. I'm so excited. It's out the week before Pokemon.
Which one?
Diamond Pearl.
Diamond Pearl.
Yeah. But let's move on. Danganronpa Decadence is out this year at some point. These are more narrative adventure detective games. It's a collection of 3 games plus a board game. This is another pretty well-regarded series, but, you know, narrative heavy games.
Yeah, there's an anime of this too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Any good?
I haven't watched it.
Okay. Looking forward to your thoughts.
I'm not watching it. I'm just saying that it exists and it's out there.
Anything else we need to address about Danganronpa? Any interest in this?
The name alone said I'm not buying it.
Cool. How about
Danganronpa?
Danganronpa.
Danganronpa. Yeah, no, I don't know. Just whatever.
It is kind of fun to say. Yeah. Danganronpa. How about this? How about this for a name? How's this one strike you? Fatal Frame Maiden of Blackwater.
Oh, I'm so excited. This looks good. This looks really good.
I didn't rewind it, but I accidentally skipped over this one.
That's okay. I can tell you everything you need.
Because I was watching Danganronpa. I was like, dear God, I'm sick of this. Please stop. And I fast-forwarded it. It caught the very last frame where it said, Fatal Frame! And I was like, well, I'm not going to rewind. I'll end up in the middle of Danganronpa again.
It is interesting that Danganronpa gets sandwiched in between Shin Megami Tensei, a game of the world already having ended, and like Fatal Frame, a game where like you're exploring a haunted mountain. Oh no, I think Danganronpa does have like some apocalyptic elements.
Well, Danganronpa is about students murdering each other, so...
Oh, well, yeah, I guess it fits right in then.
Yeah.
But yeah, Fatal Frame.
Yeah, I'm just pumped about it. This looks good. This is a remake, right? This is an older game?
It's a port of the Wii U.
Okay.
It was on the Wii U, but it never got a physical release on the Wii U, so it's basically a new game to, like...
So many people.
100% of people in the world. I own this game on Wii U. If this does get a physical version on this time around, I'm probably going to double dip, just so that, you know... It's not stuck on my Wii U hard drive forever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really dug this when I played it on Wii U.
It's a shame they're not coming out with a new one, though. Because, yeah, you talked a lot about Fatal Frame.
It is a shame that they're not coming out with a new one. But, you know, maybe if this game does pretty well, then the series will continue.
It's just such a nice twist on the whole survival horror formula. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess you guys have ever seen either version of Darkwater. I think it's a Korean film, and then there was an American remake.
Yeah, with Jennifer Connelly.
Isn't it so nice to watch a horror movie that is genuinely terrifying, and then at the end of it, you realize there was never even a bad guy?
Hmm.
That it's just a bunch of really tragic things happening, you know?
There's no, like, killer behind the curtain?
Yeah, yeah. Like, having a gun wouldn't have changed anything for anybody.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I like that that's how Fatal Frame kind of operates. I mean, granted, there are stakes and you're technically dispelling demons and stuff like that, or dispelling, you know, spirits, but it's all with a camera. It doesn't really, you know.
It's as passive as you can possibly be.
Yeah.
Just like taking pictures of things. And it doesn't, you never get like overpowered with anything. It's not like Resident Evil, these games that I really, really like. At a certain point, once you kind of learn the rhythm of it, and especially once you start doing multiple playthroughs, the tension goes away because you realize like what you have to kill, what you don't have to kill, what you can just run out of. Like the danger kind of goes away.
The stakes are kind of, yeah. It's because we're of an action game, mm-hmm. or like a stealth action game.
Yeah, and the thing that really helps transform it from that sort of survival horror into an action game is your scarcity of resources. And once you learn how to manage those, and like manage your route through the game, especially like in Resident Evil 2, those stakes get lowered. Like every time you replay it, you get more familiar with it, and you optimize your playthrough. Whereas in Fatal Frame, there's no inventory to manage. You have to go through the game just with what you have, and like the only resource that you have is your film for your camera, and your weakest film is gonna have infinite shots, because I guess it's just using like cloud storage or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you do have like more powerful film that you can use against boss fights, such as they are in Fatal Frame. But yeah, it is. It's a super tense game because so much of the time you feel so powerless.
Yeah.
And this game is actually coming out to other systems. Like, really? Not just Switch. Yeah, it's coming to multiple consoles. Which is strange because several years back, Nintendo bought the exclusive rights to publish this series in North America. So I don't know if, like, maybe there was some sort of, like, a mistranslation or miscommunication about what that meant. It seemed really fucking clear at the time. Maybe Nintendo is publishing this on other systems. That would seem strange. It doesn't seem like something they would do. But either
maybe
way,
they get a cut of it. Or maybe they're just trying to generate some interest. Or again, maybe they just don't trust horror games on this console. As we've established, they seem to put horror games in the corner.
I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see if, that PS4 or PS5 version, whatever it comes out to, if it has that Nintendo logo at the beginning, because Nintendo published the original version.
Oh, that would be I love it. It's just that snap sound.
Doom Eternal, The Ancient Gods, Part 1.
Cool.
That's some DLC out now.
I have Doom Eternal. I still haven't beaten it. I actually booted it up and played a little bit the other day. It's fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
And now there's more to it, if you ever want to get to it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it on the Switch. I think it looks terrible, and it hurts my eyes, and I don't know what's going on.
You think it looks terrible? I think it looks great.
I think it looks terrible on the Switch.
Don't believe a word he just said. This game looks amazing.
It looks like
this game has incredible environments.
The environments are everything, but it's so de-res to work on the Switch. Like, I can't.
I didn't really get the sense that it was that de-resed. The game is like
it looked. I mean, I had the same like.
The game is so articulate.
What did they
de-res? There's so much detail in everything.
I had the same kind of like backwards jerk when I saw the Witcher 3 on the Switch.
Okay. Well,
that was super de-resed.
I don't know. I mean, to me, I haven't played Witcher 3 on a PC or anything like that, so I can't say.
When you play something like Witcher 3 on your PS4 and everything, and then you see it on the Switch like that, I couldn't get through it. It just looks like a muddy mess to me.
Oh.
It's never going to happen. No one here owns a PS4 or ever will.
Yeah. Well, The game does run.
You fucking do.
I don't know what you're talking about. No. This is the Nintendo show. We don't own other consoles here.
Yeah.
You want to borrow my Witcher?
No.
So I don't know what pixels it's lacking, but Doom Eternal looks amazing. It does. Like, again, maybe if somebody has already played Doom Eternal on another console, I mean, then why are you buying it on the Switch? I mean, again, if I was going to buy the game, I'd get it on a fucking PC. Because first-person shooters are best played with a mouse and keyboard. So I would certainly not recommend anyone double-dip on a console for this game. But, I didn't want to spend money on a new PC to be able to play Doom Eternal. So, yeah, this is, like, fucking well worth it. That said, I don't know if I'm going to get the Ancient Gods. And it plays real smooth. Part one. Yeah, I mean, the game plays, like, super smooth on Switch. So
yeah, I mean, it was playing smooth. I just, like, the first enemy came up, it was a weird head spire legs. I don't know. It had a turret on its head. It was like a ball with a turret and legs.
Yeah.
And I couldn't hit the freaking turret because everything just was blurred together with all the weird red shades of red that was going on.
Oh, did you try getting good?
I could try that.
I mean, the game is
not my forte. If the game doesn't hold my hand, I want nothing to do with it.
I mean, for me, the hardest thing was juggling all of the new various mechanics that they have in the game and how much the game, even on its like normal difficulty, mm-hmm. will just kill you. So immediately, like, even like the even the weakest enemies, if you just kind of stand still long enough, even the weakest enemies in the game can pretty much kill you in a few minutes.
Okay, so
a few seconds.
So if you let the weak enemies shoot you in the face repeatedly, you're going to die.
Or like,
it's a weird concept.
Well, even the zombie ones that walk up to you and attack you.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, most games they would sit there and then you'd watch your armor bar whittle down, and then you'd watch your health bar whittle down. These guys will basically kill you in just a few seconds.
Yeah.
If you're not...
Everything's brutal in the game.
You have to constantly move. Yeah. It's very much a game that kind of dictates that you have constant forward motion. I don't know. We're not really supposed to be talking about...
Yeah, whatever.
Probably should move on.
Doom's a thing. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. They gave that a couple of seconds just to remind everyone it's coming up the same day as Mario Golf.
Cool.
Yep. Strange Brigade is a game that they went ahead and released that same day. It's a co-op shooty adventure thingy. I don't know. It's budget price, too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what's strange.
Is
that what you have on
yeah,
there?
It looked like a four-player co-op dungeon raiding shooty game.
Okay.
I mean, it looked fine such as it is, but I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It seems like it got sent out to die.
All right. That looks interesting.
Mario plus Rabbit Sparks of Hope. That one's coming out next year, though. It's not out this year. Mm. They did the big unveil. Ubisoft did their own presentation. They spent a good 7 or 8 minutes breaking down this game. So it just got like a little blurb. And the Nintendo presentation, which happened after the Ubisoft one. But it looks really good. I'm down for another one of these. I like the first one a lot.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it looks like they made some slight changes to the movement in battle. Or as opposed to working on a grid system, it's now more free roaming, which is interesting.
I'm interested to see how like the rules of the game work like that. Like, how long can you move around in that free roam area, or can you just move around indefinitely until end your turn? Or
yeah, and how do they maintain like that sort of strategy gameplay if you just have kind of free range of movement? It kind of turns it more. It seems like it would turn it into more of an action game, but I'm interested to see what it is that the battle system is turning into. But yeah, otherwise, looks cool.
Hmm.
Oh, Rabbit Yoshi is not there. They did not show him.
Hmm. That's a shame.
Which is an outrage.
I think that's going to be a reveal in the game.
Maybe he'll be DLC.
But it's okay, we got the Rabbit Star.
And Rabbit Rosalina.
Yeah.
So.
Because, you know, everybody was asking for those.
Yeah, what are the, give me those star characters of Mario Galaxy.
Give me a Rabbit Bowser or something. Come on.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be...
They did a Mario Donkey Kong. They did a Rabbit Donkey Kong. In the DLC for the first one, which is cool.
Yeah.
I just want a Mario Donkey Kong now.
Mario Donkey, like Mario to Donkey Kong
giant
too.
Mustache.
Advance Wars 1 and 2. Reboot Camp.
Who even knew this was happening?
Oh my god.
This is maybe the most high profile thing for me here.
Yeah, motherfucking hype. Yeah. It's out December 3rd. It's out this year.
The second that popped up, I'm like, John is jumping. Just freaking the fuck out right
I'm
now.
I'm so happy this series is coming back.
Yeah.
Well, it's just bringing it back.
It's like you're reading my notes.
It's not a new one.
It would have been nice if it was a new game, but these games are 20 years old. So
yeah.
It's new to a lot of people.
Do both?
What?
Do a new game and re-release these?
Oh, just, yeah, that'd be totally fine.
This is, well, I mean, any of this game sells well, I bet you they will want to make another one.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's being developed by WayForward, not Intelligent Systems, who had done the series in the past. Intelligent Systems also does Fire Emblem. So this, and Paper Mario. So this could be WayForward sort of auditioning, like, hey, we'll remake these things. Like, they pitch these remakes and then maybe go on to do something new. So that way, you know, the Advance Wars series doesn't have to lag behind Paper Mario and Fire Emblem now, since Fire Emblem is much bigger than Advance Wars at this point.
Okay, I'm on board for that.
But yeah,
Although I've never played also, any like, Wars game, so.
Dual Strike is so unbalanced. Mm. Like, there's not even an attempt to balance that game at all. It's way too... The game is so focused around using your CO power.
Yeah, you can use like
double the CO power capacity because you use it both at the same time.
Yeah, Dual Strike is wait until both your CO powers are full, then win.
Basically. Yeah, so like there is definitely room for another one where they get rid of that shit entirely or make the COs just a little more like balanced or not so important to the whole way the game plays.
Yeah, I think 1 and 2 did a good job of having that CO balance. Like,
man, those games are fun.
Advance Wars 2 is brutal toward the end. Like those last few missions are really tough.
Is it the Black Hole team or whatever they're called? Like, yeah, those guys are pretty rough.
Yeah. And I don't know, they ended up trying to rein in the Advance Wars series after Dual Strike with Days of Ruin, which was a much more apocalyptic. Actually very fitting for now because it was like the world after like this terrible disease is killing people off and there are warring factions trying to just continue to survive as the disease continues to kill more people off. And then they ended up like reining in the power of those commanding officers. But I guess
they brutally murder Eagle as well.
Totally deserved it though. Yeah. As long as Grit survives.
Defying gravity the way he does. Who does he think he is? Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, yeah. Super excited for this game. I'm not super inspired by the visuals. Like, I think it looks fine.
They look good.
But, I don't know. I guess, like, if I were thinking of how they're going to translate, like, the 2D sprites of the Advance Wars games into polygons, this is not the direction I thought they would have went. They went very, like... toy-like.
You realize 30 minutes into it, you're going to turn the battle animations off.
Of course. You have to. Just get down to brass tacks. Give me numbers on a grid.
I mean, and that's the other thing. These games take forever to play. Mm-hmm. They are very... They are time-crunching games because when you've got 20 units on a field and it's your turn, it's like, well... I need to think about how I'm going to do 20 things. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's a lot to manage because
and then when you
get two things out of order... Or, I mean, you can... You know, not say it's not to think of it badly. If you deftly realize that this thing can go and then this thing can go, you could totally, you know, turn the tide of the battle really quick like that. So it's worth sitting there thinking about what your play is going to be.
And, I forgot what... Fuck, I lost it again. Okay. Say everything you just said over again, and I'll think of it.
No, okay. Anyway. So there's Max, and then I totally got the hots for the infantry girl.
Sammy.
And yeah, she's for real. There's the big guy. He's there that wears blue.
Is there Olaf. Pixelated boobs bouncing?
Olaf's back. Grit's there. No, I don't think you really... There's... that's the other thing. We had a big fight about this years ago. They don't die. Nobody dies in this game.
I know you literally still... I guess they just get knocked off the screen. Where are they going?
Precisely.
They're just like...
They're going home, man.
Going to the craft services table that's right back there.
Probably.
I'm going to have some melon balls and a bagel.
Yeah, they're union workers. They get fed well, right? Like, I mean, do you see little parachutes?
Their planes blow up. Like, their tanks blow up. And like, how is their parachute going to help them out of a tank?
You're overthinking it. Everyone's fine.
I hope so. No one dies.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with like Advanced Wars versus Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem, we get to very meticulous about not letting anyone die. Whereas Advanced Wars, like, no, just shove all the infantry toward the front. You plug all the holes. Wait until I build my artillery.
Well, because that's what you do. You wait till the infantry are out there, and it's like there's 10 guys, and there's suddenly 2 of them left, and they're like terrified of everything, and it's like, well, time to merge you with the 9.
And I love the sort of resource management. Like, it's like it's an extra layer of strategy to it. Like your main goal at the beginning of every map is like, okay, how do I get just one more building than the other guy, because then that's going to give you the economic advantage.
Well, and it's the ones that do blight attacks, like Olaf, whose cold thing, you know, used to deal 1 chip damage. It's like, well, thank you for letting me just pump all my resources together. It's like, if you've got 2 medium tanks, you just combine the 2 9s, and then you get paid back 8 in the money, and then just go buy a large tank, right? It's like, there's so many fun little quirks and strategies to it.
I'm
so excited for this game.
And sometimes you want to send like your 1 unit just to take a little bit of damage so you can come behind him and merge him with another one.
Yeah.
It gives you like a nice a bottleneck.
Oh, is his name Colin? The little kid that does the money stuff? Oh, man.
Power of money.
Whoa. The kid's for real.
Yeah, like it's a power that gets better the deeper you get into a map.
Oh yeah, there's like a multiplier effect on it, and they can just constantly spawn infantry units and just clog. Yeah, there's only so many tile pieces in the game. If you fill the table with pawns,
yep.
Your opponent can't do anything.
Nope.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Me too.
It's gonna be good. And then they moved over into all the Zelda stuff.
Yeah, literally all Zelda content.
Yep. So for the back, I don't know, the back 3 or 4 minutes of the show is all Zelda. They talked about the Age of Calamity expansions that are coming. One is going to be out by the time this podcast posts. The expansion is called Pulse of the Ancients. There's a new
character. I still have your cartridge. Do you want it back? Or are you going to get this?
I mean, if you're done with it, I'm not going to play the expanded content.
Would you believe I haven't started?
I would.
I want to play.
It's good, though.
I borrowed my friend's. I had to return it to him because he was going home.
Nah. But dying?
Yes.
Oh, God.
No. He's here for school. He's a kid.
Okay.
He's here for... goes to... I don't even know where he went. But he was here and he's got to go home for a couple months. So
I don't know where he is. I just took his stuff.
He's not going to be working.
He was a stray child. I found him at Target.
He's not going to be working at Target anymore. I don't know. Whatever.
But he's like, can I buy some Pokemon cards? And you punched him and showed him in your trunk.
You're working at Target now, fuck.
Yeah. Actually, well, because of the sale recently, I bought a bunch of games. So, what limited time I have with games, I need to play those first.
I bought a couple of games as well.
What's sale?
There's a big eShop sale.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll take a look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even some like first party Nintendo games are on sale, you know. $40 as opposed to $60, but you know.
Yeah. Actually, there was a... can we put a button on this and save it for the end of the thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's move on with the...
Age of Calamity. This expansion, there's a new character. You can play as a guardian.
Which that's crazy. Pretty cool.
Pretty crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Link has that like nunchuck whip weapon. They call it a flail.
It's weird.
Oh, I think it looks pretty fun.
It reminds me of the, I think it's a Chinese weapon, but it's literally just like a stick and has a very, very tiny couple lengths of a chain and then two more sticks.
Okay.
I know what I'm talking about. I don't even know what the thing is called, but that's where it reminded me of.
If I remember correctly, there were Ninja Turtle villains that used them. There were Foot Clan and then one of the arcade ones. Because I remember being like, that's the most impractical weapon I've ever seen. Just give the guy a fucking gun.
Yeah, I can't figure out how that weapon works. I've been baffled about this thing for years.
Yeah.
Like, how does that thing work?
I don't know. That's probably why you don't see them in battle a lot. Because the guy with the sword just stabbed him.
Zelda gets a Master Cycle. And use that as a weapon.
That's pretty cool. Is that going to, like, get her off or anything?
I don't know, maybe.
What?
I mean, I'm sure, like, just the vibrations.
Yeah. You said it was a Master Cycle. It sounds sexual.
Yeah, it's like that episode. No.
Okay. You're going to bring up Friends again?
No, I was going to reference South Park. The big wheel that Mr. Garrison designed.
I don't remember that one.
The new vehicle that Mr. Garrison
designed. Oh, yeah. The gyroscopic cycle thingy.
Yeah.
Or like Get Always Sunny, like the exercise bike that Mac has.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like, it just pushes you up when you get tired. there's a new difficulty level, apocalyptic difficulty, as well as new challenges and higher ranking enemies.
You should try it. I liked this game. I didn't like the first Hyrule Warriors, but I liked this one. This one's a lot of fun. There was a lot more depth to the combat, so nice. It was good.
Yeah, having like those slate powers and like different enemy, like different counters to how the enemies are going to attack you. Like if they got a spear, they're going to charge you. You're going to want to use your Cryosis. Like that does add a nice layer to just the sort of like
the different characters actually felt a lot different, opposed to just being feeling roughly the same as everybody else, just with a slightly different.
Mm.
But everybody was drastically different. I mean, the bird guy, I forget his name,
Revali.
He's got a lot of aerial stuff going on. Mipha had a lot of weird dashes and stuff. They were all drastically different.
And the Gorons suck.
God, he sucks.
And then in November, there's another expansion. They're calling this one Guardian of Remembrance. It's going to have new stages, an expanded roster, new battle skills, but no other details. You can get the expansion for $20. And there's some sort of like weapons that you get as a purchase bonus, which just to me is like more content, like a purchase bonus. That's just what you get for buying the thing. Anyway, it doesn't make much sense. They reminded us all that, well, I say us all, they reminded you, Wes, that Skyward Sword is coming out on July 16th.
Fucker!
Looking forward to your thoughts.
Fucker! God damn it.
Hey, maybe maybe we'll do better on the poker quiz.
I never do good on the poker quiz.
Yeah.
You were within range. Like, you were within striking range.
I was at least 6 points below you.
I just re-listened to that quiz show just to make sure the popping sound wasn't happening in every podcast that we were doing.
Yeah.
Plus, I just like the sound of my own voice. But no, you were like within 3 or 4 points till the very end. You were right there. You were right there in it. Until we did Who's That Pokemon, and then things kind of fell apart.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
So.
I swear, I'm going to make a quiz show and just stack it in Ryan's favor.
Oh, please.
That's a hollow victory.
Hey, I'll take it.
Nintendo is releasing some new hardware on November the 12th.
I saw that.
The little Legend of Zelda Game & Watch.
God, that's stupid.
It's got 3 games on it this time.
Just the one.
Yeah, last year, if you remember, the Mario Game & Watch just had Mario 1. This one has Legend of Zelda 1, Adventure of Link, as well as Link's Awakening.
And I think it was $50.
And this one is $50, too.
Yeah, so that makes a little bit more sense with 3 different games, but one really bad game.
You get $50 for this little system where you could play all 3 games on the Virtual Console for $15. So, there's that.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's like a limited edition collector's thing.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's definitely like a little tchotchke that it's...
Which, by the way, we all should have bought those cartridges of Celeste when they came up. They're like $90 now.
Oh, one of those limited run?
Yeah. Shame on us.
Well, you know, those... Yeah. I'm not that kind of guy.
I'm not going to buy something and then... I'm not a reseller. I just...
It's this strange, like, secondary market for... these limited run, like different companies will, whether it's like Super Rare Games or Limited Run Games or whoever it is, they'll like intentionally print, like they'll open up pre-orders and say like, okay, we're only going to print like 12,000 or whatever number they pick of these things, and you got to get your pre-order in, and you either really want to keep it or you're going to flip it later on. But like it's this intentional rarity, and it's not like they're not video game publishers. They actually have to like make sure they're covering all their costs, which is why they have a strict limit on how many they're actually going to print.
Mario 3D All-Stars is supposed to be a limited release, right? Like, that's supposed to be done, right?
Yeah, it's gone.
I still get it.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I guess we're burning through our, like, warehouse supply of it or something? I don't know, but I still got it.
Yeah, they stopped printing it. I guess they didn't recall all of their prints,
yeah.
which would be silly if they did.
I'm just confused because every day it shows up on my box, I'm like, what the fuck is this doing here? Like,
you're not supposed to be here.
Wait a second.
Get out. Get back in the box.
Bobby, back in the garage.
But anyway, like one thing that struck me as funny about this Zelda Game & Watch is that Mr. Inuma, who was showing this thing off, made specific mention that they had no other plans for other releases or celebrations for the Zelda 35th anniversary, because there are all the rumors flying around like, oh, they're going to do a collection like they did for Mario. They're going to do Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, and they're going to put it all in one cartridge and sell it to us, and it's going to be great. And
I wish they would.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice. But it was one of those things, I get a strange satisfaction because everyone just thought it was a foregone conclusion this was going to happen. And
you just enjoy people being wrong.
I do. I really like it when people are wrong.
I actually had I'm supposed to call them guests, not customers, a guy purchasing things in Target.
I don't like the word guest. It implies they're welcome.
I know. I don't want them here. But he actually brought up the Switch Pro. He's like... He brought up E3 because he bought something with the Switch. I forget, like a game or something. He was like, yeah, I'm hoping they announce that Switch Pro. I'm like, that's not happening. I was like, that's not happening. Like,
you and everybody else.
You dumb fuck. That's not happening.
And then you smacked him with your weird nunchuck with a stick in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, well, the main event, the last thing, they showed the sequel to Breath of the Wild. Said it was coming out in 2022.
I immediately start screaming.
Are you talking about the Target guy still?
Or? No. When the sequel showed up, they started playing it because he starts immediately falling out of the sky. I was like, no, not more of this. Oh god!
His loft wing comes and catches them, and they fly away.
Oh god, why?
Well, his arm's a little jacked up too. His right arm of his, there's something going on with
that. Oh yeah, he's got some sort of gauntlet. Oh, there's also we're making the assumption that you are playing as Link, it does seem to be segmented, whether you're playing the same character or not, where there are segments where you're playing as in a wider area, maybe on the ground, and then like on the floating islands is a different section of the game. Because it seems like when this character is playing in the sky island areas, the hairstyle's a little bit different. So maybe there's some sort of time jump happening. Maybe you're flipping back and forth between two characters.
Maybe he's focusing on aerodynamics.
Maybe just like pulls out the ponytail, and that's just how his hair is. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Like in a year and a half, when we finally see this game,
he goes through walls now.
Right.
Versus time.
Holy shit! Like the stasis powers are back, so there will be some like returning Sheikah slate powers or some sort of facsimile thereof.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they're pass through like floors and stuff, so maybe that'll make climbing easier in the rain. But there's a flamethrower with this weird gauntlet arm that this character has, whether it's Link or whoever.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're expanding on the different skills quite a bit.
Yeah,
which is great.
Yeah, which is exactly what they should do.
Yeah,
it looks so fucking good, you guys.
It does look really fucking good.
It looks really really good.
That sky area reminded me immediately of the sky temple in, was it Twilight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the weird people chicken.
Yeah, the chickens with the human faces.
Yeah, that was really creepy.
Yeah,
yeah. But it reminded me a lot of that area, like some of the architecture and everything.
Yeah, it's interesting because like you see Hyrule Castle being lifted up, as if it's going to be taken to the sky too. And I'm wondering if like all of the geography is going to be altered by like chunks being taken up into the sky, and those are the places that you're going, which then makes it interesting. Like if there is like a ground segment, it changes the geography of actual Hyrule. So, you know, you're playing through the same area, but things can be drastically different because chunks have been lifted up into the sky.
Do you think this is like a precursor story-wise to Twilight Princess in a way? Like this is how these flying things got there?
No.
Oh.
I don't think they give a shit.
I think that's...
Like, right. And
I think that'd be really cool though. Be like, oh, that's how the flying plates got there.
And there's been some speculation, like, oh, and maybe like this is some sort of a setup or precursor to Skyward Sword as well, because there's floating islands in that. I don't think Nintendo gives a fuck. I think they're just like, hey, you know, let's just make some floating islands.
We don't know where this happens in the timeline, does it? Do we?
I don't think so.
We don't know where...
The timeline doesn't matter. You should ignore all of that. It's not important.
I care about the twat timeline.
Why?
Because it's cool!
It's not.
I like it.
Ryan, chime in. Be the tiebreaker.
I think it's great that you both have opinions on things.
What a cop-out. Oh my god.
I don't really care.
My wife is being unreasonable yelling at this guy at Denny's, but at the same time, he's right, but I have to agree with her. Like, what's that cop-out?
Right. I think it's cool that I get to be in the sky.
Yeah, right? That was a really weird analogy I just pulled out of my ass. I have no idea where that came from.
Yeah, that was very
confused.
That
is a great example, though. Where it's like, dude, I feel for you. I'll tip you a little better than I'm supposed to. Thanks for putting up with her. All I know is I'm trying to get my dick sucked in here. So. Denny's is, by the way, the people that were... I literally actually had someone... My waitress quit, walk out at Denny's.
Oh, no.
Like, there.
How long ago was this?
She was done. This was maybe 3 years ago.
In the before times.
Yeah. I was at a Denny's. And by the way, the place was not busy at all. There was, like, maybe five tables there and, like, two waiters. Waitress and a waiter. And, like, we showed up and everything seemed like, you know, it was going. But we noticed at the table next to us, these two people were just, like, kind of miffed about something or whatever. And then, like, the waitress comes back and he's like, and she kind of walks over to us and she's like, hey, and she brings us some water and is like, oh, back in a second. And she goes to the other table and then the guy just like is like, hey, no, don't you go away. We need this right. Like, because basically she had not been attending to them at all. So he's like, no, we want this. And then she just like goes to the back, tells this manager, she's like, I'm fucking done. And quits. And then the manager, like, 5 minutes later, it's just like... And we get overhear the two of them just fucking jawing about how shitty this waitress was. Like, not to us, but just, like, overhear them flipping out about how bad the service was. And then the manager comes out and is like, we just had our waitress quit. So I'll be taking over your table. What did you need again? It was like, oh, man, I feel bad.
You're like, I need the full story, sir.
I feel like she's on to bigger and better things, and that guy was probably being unreasonable.
Mm.
Most likely, it's fucking Denny's.
I know, right? Yeah, what do you fucking expect, man? It's Denny's.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
place is open 24 hours a day. Right?
When did they
get it? And that's because they don't let the staff sleep.
I mean, it's the only place you can go in there and order a full meal without saying a goddamn word. You just point to the picture of the food you want. Yeah.
That's why the menus are laminated. They got to reuse that.
Wait, what are we talking about?
Zelda. We're talking about Zelda.
I don't want to get in the middle of your thing. I think that there is a narrative, but the story jumps around so fucking much that
it doesn't matter.
It's not like I could tell you the order in which the games
are. No one should pay attention to it.
I don't think Nintendo cares, but I care.
Why do you care anyway?
It's fun watching.
Why do you care more than
I like the story?
It's fun watching those like hour and a half long breakdowns on YouTube where someone's like, here's the true order of all of the games, and they're like, here's this Game Boy game, and it goes right.
Minish Cap is first because he gets his hat.
Stuff like that. I think it's fun if you're into that. But I think, again, big thing, I'm in the sky, I'm on little islands, and I'm shooting arrows at bad guys. And I'm
happy. And there's a stone talus that has a fortress on it. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And a flamethrower arm.
And that's a flamethrower arm.
Come on, what else do you want out of life than a flamethrower arm?
Yeah.
Well, it's out in 2022-ish. They didn't specifically say they're aiming for 2022, so...
They didn't put a question mark after it. It said 2022.
But the
I take that to mean, you know, what are we in June? So like within the next 18 months,
it's going to be a holiday of 2022.
That is probably what they would really like to happen. But the fact that he said we're aiming for 2022 leaves it open for them to come out and say, sorry.
It's going to be summer 2023.
Yep.
And then it's going to get delayed.
And we're launching it with our new Switch.
And then does that mean that we're seriously going to be waiting till 2024 to get this new fucking...
Here's the Switch U.
Metroid game?
Not necessarily.
Metroid Prime? You think they're going to, in the same year, release Breath of the Wild 2 and Metroid Prime?
Yeah, I think it's totally possible.
It's going to be a goddamn awesome year.
In 2017, they released a new Mario and a new Zelda.
So it's weird that you had that tucked away.
It was the launch year of the Switch.
Oh.
It's Breath of the Wild launches.
They're launching a new console, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As 2023, 2024 rolls around, they launch a new console.
Here's
Breath of the Wild 2 and Metroid Prime 4.
I didn't realize how deep this conspiracy was going. This is like a Hollow Earth kind of thing you got going on here.
It's not hollow, it's filled with more people.
Yes, and there's actually, there's no land, it's all water. It's all water that connects.
Right, it can't be hollow, it's a flat disc.
Bingo.
Man, your tinfoil hat is looking awfully shiny right now.
Anything else we need to say about Breath of the Wild when it launches on the Switch 2?
I think we're all excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That's a day one purchase for so many people. And
it's going to be so good.
Yeah.
A few other games I just need to mention that exist. I sent you guys a playlist. Did you get it?
I did. I can't remember what was on it.
Wizard with a Gun?
Yes, that looks really good.
Is on it? Just the title alone. Like
I am... 100% on board. This is awesome. Yes, looks so cool.
Yeah, it's a co-op survival game.
Yeah, the fact that it's co-op as well. Like, this is going to be a fun like game night thing to do.
It looks cool. We did get a release date confirmed for Skatebird. August 12th.
Skatebird's
coming out. There's also another really cool looking game, Demon Throttle. Ryan, did you see this one?
I did not.
Demon Throttle is like an 8-bit style scrolling shoot-em-up. It looks really, really nice. Really nice pixel art. This is a weird one. It's out in 2022. They're not doing a digital release, whoever is publishing this game. They're only doing a limited physical release. And you can pre-order it now for $30 for the standard edition. But it's going to be a super limited print and never be released digitally. Like, this is the only way to get it. Yeah. It's bizarre.
That is pretty absurd. I don't know. It looks cool.
So buy 5 copies because...
Right.
Oh, it's a bullet hell.
Yeah.
But, like, on the ground.
Right.
All right.
Which is something that I think there were a couple of games similar to that.
Yeah, you can see it often.
But you know how, like, a lot of games sort of, like, emulate that 8-bit art style, but it's, like, a little bit better? Like, it kind of, like, emulates how you remember 8-bit games looking rather than how they actually look. Like,
that's this, like... That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's not trying to emulate it. It looks like it generally is...
Right, it's got like the muted color palette and
that limited color palette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of blocky design to everything. I don't know, this looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty fun.
Yeah, I think it looks really great. Hmm. Ryan, one for you. A Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh, yeah, that's that horror text adventure game, right?
It is. Yeah, the horror adventure game. It's coming out on the Switch on the 30th of this month.
Nice. I didn't actually... I'm pretty sure it was on PC, right?
Yes.
I played it on PC. Okay. If I'm remembering this game correctly, that is a game I picked up a long time ago on PC and never finished. Mm. So this might be a good catalyst to doing so.
Yeah. I think the hook with that one is it is like this, supposed to be like this deeply disturbing, like psychological horror game, yeah. But it's...
And it doesn't seem so upfront.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like this club of school children who...
Yeah. I guess cutesy really... anime girls with their different personalities.
Right.
Yeah.
There's the hot-headed one and the one who's sick all the time.
Yeah.
What are more anime tropes? That's all I got. Sacrifier, that's a JRPG style game that was coming out to 2022-ish. Looks interesting. Nothing else to say about it.
Okay.
But that's it. That's E3.
I think it was pretty good.
I thought you said there's a River City Girls 2 coming out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I didn't have that on my notes. There was no video. Didn't really show any images. It just confirmed that it is something that exists. It's supposed to be out next year.
I love that game.
Actually.
That game is a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. I really like that one too. And also they're bringing over... localizing for the first time one of those River City games where those two characters first appear. They're bringing it over as River City Girls Zero. And the game isn't like... The narrative isn't like focused on them. It's just they became playable for the first time.
Yeah. Well, you remember how it ends, right? Like mm-hmm. when you play through it?
Yep.
Like, you're not their girlfriends.
Right.
You beat up their girlfriends.
Right.
They're really upset about that. The two villain girls that you think are like trying to steal your man.
Yeah, the two
they're the ones. Actual girlfriends. And you two are just psychopaths that are obsessed yeah. with these boys.
Just a couple of thugs going around beating up, being like just stalking these men.
Oh my god. It's yeah, so good.
Really good. That game is really good.
Oh, and you said it was a Pokemon thing? Pokemon Unite?
Pokemon, yeah, we'll talk about that one more on the Pokemon show. But yeah, Pokemon Unite got a release date for, I think it's next month.
Yeah, next month.
America.
Cool.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to play it.
Cool.
Is it free to play?
It says a free to start, I think.
Oh, that term again, huh?
Yeah, I don't like that term. I think it's going to be, it looks like a Pokemon League of Legends. Mm-hmm. So I think, this is my guess, it's going to be a free to play. But if you want to buy more Pokemon to play, or if you want to buy more skins for your characters,
it'd be funny if it was just Bidoof.
I think it's just
the only way you play Bidoof.
I think it's just microtransactions. Like League of Legends does that. Like you can unlock more champions if you play a lot and get their in-game currency, or you just flat out pay off real money to buy the champions, and then each of those champions have like 6 skins you can buy. Or more. Some of them have absurd amount at this point.
This all sounds just repugnant to me.
Yeah, it's. I think this is so just gross. A League of Legends Pokemon game, and
I just hope there's loot boxes and card packs.
Oh man,
probably. League of Legends got wacky with loot boxes. Like they're not. There's loot boxes, and then it's tough to explain. But the loot boxes totally aren't worth it at all. It's a ripoff.
Like every loot box.
Yeah, but they like give you loot boxes. Very rarely. It's dumb.
Sounds dumb.
It's just dumb.
But you know what's not dumb?
What's that?
Advance Wars.
Oh man. Like here's the thing. I'm actually Frame. I am more I mean maybe it's because it's a known thing. I am more pumped about Advance Wars than I am about Breath of the Wild 2.
Okay, because it's like coming up. Yeah. Like we're 6 months away. Yeah. From playing these games
again. Part of me is just so happy that they didn't let the series die.
Yeah.
That this is them trying to bring it back. I hope there is traction on it, and I hope people buy it and put a little money back into this franchise, because it deserves
a second chance. We did our part. I mean, the three people who listen to this show are now...
Yeah.
It's now on their radar.
I know. So, it better be.
I own all 3 cartridges for my DS. Like I've got the games. I bought them all.
So you did your part.
Yeah.
I did my part. Everyone else, do your part. It's the right thing.
See, agreed.
Shin Megami Tensei, Mario Golf, fucking Metroid. There's a new Metroid game. It's in 2D.
I know. Like this lineup is just absurd. Like there's so many games coming out.
Yeah, I'm so happy with this. Like this is just fucking great.
What happened at the PlayStation one? Like I have not. I mean,
they didn't do one.
Oh, they didn't even fucking.
Sony
do one.
Didn't have one.
No, Sony had no presence at this sort of weird digital E3.
Wow.
So Capcom did one. It was like 26 minutes. And I watched the Capcom one, and I felt so bad for the presenter. First of all, the presenter like brought the, she brought
the, kept calling it Capcom.
She brought like this really like intense energy to it, where like a lot of like hand motions and all like working the shoulders, like get like people excited and like draw you into the presentation. They talked about games that were already announced and coming out in the next 2 or 3 months. There's like some updates to Monster Hunter Rise are coming. They talked about Monster Hunter Stories 2. They talked about the Great Ace Attorney that's coming out in July. And then they spent a good maybe 5 or 6 minutes talking about like a Street Fighter competitive scene. There were no new announcements. The ESA who runs E3 must have just given them a bag of money. It's like, please do something. Please have some sort of presentation. And she was giving it her all. She was like mugging for the camera, but they had nothing. They had nothing to show.
A game that's already out, Resident Evil Village.
Yeah, I think that was like the one new announcement is they talked about Resident Evil Village and then like had white text on a black screen. They're going to do DLC for it. Like, fucking great. That's your announcement?
I am shocked. Right.
Ubisoft had something. Microsoft had a show, and that by most accounts went pretty well. They had a lot of stuff to announce. Some bad news though, Wes. Bethesda's very sorry that you won't be able to play Starfield on your PS4.
Oh,
you got an apology out of it.
All
right. Yeah,
that does make me sad because I was intrigued by this.
Well, get ready for it, because if you want to play any Bethesda game, you're going to need an Xbox or a PC.
Are they saying that they're now exclusive?
No, but every game that they've announced within the past year or two is going exclusive. There are some things that still ended up multi-platform because they had already been coming out on multi-platform systems. I think lower tier stuff from other developers, but like this is the way it's going to go.
Oh shit, Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl.
The next...
is announced. Sorry.
I don't know that game.
The Stalker franchise is a really...
I'm not buying an Xbox. I will buy a good computer before I buy a fucking Xbox.
Okay. Well, yeah. And you can get...
So I'm going to have to do that, which makes me mad because I don't want to...
They're going to be very pleased with that anyway, because they're going to want you to get Game Pass, which is where all their Bethesda stuff is going. Oh. And Elder Scrolls is going to be Xbox PC exclusive. It just is.
Did they say it was?
No, but it is.
Then you shut your whore mouth.
Any Fallout game, because they now own Obsidian, like it's going to, this is what's going to happen.
Oh God, this makes me so sad.
You don't pay, and I said it when they bought them, like, you might think Phil Spencer is a swell guy who really likes you.
No, he doesn't.
You don't pay $7.5 billion for a developer who's already putting games on your system to then just let them put games on every other system. You're paying for exclusivity. That's what they bought. That's what's going to happen.
I can still be hopeful.
You're just going to get hurt. I'm trying to keep you from getting hurt.
I've always hurt.
Hold my hand.
John, that's my secret. I've always hurt. It's a hollowed husk. There's just water in between the front and the back of me. It's nothing.
It was actually pretty delightful from my perspective, someone who's done play these games, because Bethesda talked about how... as they're developing, it's much easier for them just focusing on one platform. They're able to make, they're able to give us, out of the goodness of their hearts, better games because they're not making multi-platform games. They're all able to focus on one system and craft a better experience because they're only focused on that one system.
It's basically copy and paste at this point, you fucks. Making games are easy.
Yeah, anyone can do it.
Yeah, it's established.
All right, their games are still going to be buggy as fuck. They're not putting part of the charm. That much craftsmanship into
it. It's like very pretty bugs.
So
very fancy bugs.
Oh, and then someone from Bethesda, I don't think it was Todd Howard, I don't remember who it was, but then it basically said like, hey, if you were looking forward to these games on PlayStation, sorry, we apologize. This is the world we live in now. This is what capitalism has wrought.
God damn it.
Square Enix did one too. And
that Stargate did look pretty cool. I forget what it was called though.
Now I'm totally forgetting. I think of Stardew Valley. That's all I can think of.
It did look cool though. I mean, Starfield? I don't think they showed anything. Did they show anything for Starfield?
I don't know. I didn't watch. I'm just in it for the controversy. I just want to see.
I feel like that's like mad. Most of your life. I'm just in it for the controversy.
Yes, love
it. Just an agent of chaos.
I wanted to see your salty, salty tears. Square Enix did one as well. And they spent a lot of time on Marvel stuff, Guardians of the Galaxy, expansions for their Marvel's Avenger thing. One thing they did announce, and Wes, I can sympathize with your sadness here, because they announced, in quotes, pixel-perfect remasters of Final Fantasy 1, Final Fantasy 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 as a combo pack for Steam and mobile.
Well, you can get on your mobile.
I will not. I will not. You take those words back, you motherfucker!
We'll get you a nice tablet, John. It'll be a nice tablet.
I will not. I will not. I'll take the tablet. I will not buy these games. Square Enix will not get my money for this shit. I think there's a possibility that, you know.
Aren't you excited for in 5 years for, like, your daughters to be like, Dad, let's play those mobile games we love so much, Final Fantasy.
Oh, John, I love you.
That's right. That's right.
I know, but John's anguish, I love it so much.
You're a bad person.
Someone said the best thing about Rodney Dangerfield is that there's a flash of sadness every time that he has a punchline because all of his jokes are so self-deprecating. Mm. I'll live that moment forever in your eyes. the deadness of it all.
When Miga comes to me and asks, can I play Final Fantasy VI mobile game? I'll just look at her and say, you've always been a disappointment. Yes.
Oh my god.
Hey, if she cuts me, I will cut back. But yeah, that was sad. You know,
you're a diabolical bastard. I love it. So, oh my god.
Mobile and Steam games do tend to sometimes find their way over to Switch. So it's possible that one day this finds its way over to Switch.
I can't be hopeful. Bethesda also releasing it for the PS5.
Nobody bought Square Enix.
Yeah, but still, like, I think
Microsoft bought.
I think you're in denial here, John.
About what? I'm in denial? All patterns are pointing to the one thing happening. Microsoft bought them. They're putting their new games on Microsoft platforms.
We can get a nice tablet. It'll be a very pretty tablet.
Please do. I will take
a nice
your gift.
Case.
Yeah, that would be very generous of you. I will not download Final Fantasy onto it.
All right, moving on.
That's it.
All right.
That's what we got. Other people did shows. They weren't important.
Yeah. Agreed.
But Advance Wars, you guys.
I can't tell you how pumped I am about this.
Wes, get so excited.
I'm more excited about Wizard with a Gun. Like,
looks legit.
It does look pretty legit. Mm.
So next up, on the next show, because we're done with this one, I think we're done with it. Anything else we need to say?
What is the next show?
Just the sales, if we bought anything. Like, were you going to... Did you buy
something? Oh, yeah, let's do the sales. I picked up a couple of games for a few bucks. I picked up The Gardens Between, which is... I've played about 45 minutes of it, and it's a little adventure game. It's pretty simple. You're doing a lot of like moving forward in time, moving backwards in time to activate different switches and work your way to the end of these islands. It is pretty much the crux of the gameplay. Just find the right order to press your buttons to open up the maze. Mm-hmm. And I also bought Oxenfree. Which is a game I don't know much about, but a sequel was announced at a Nintendo Direct, and it was on sale for like $3. I was like, okay, I'll see what this is all about, and see if the sequel be anything worth getting.
Nice.
How about you?
I bought 4 games. I already forgot what 2 of them are. Which one? Because they were just immediate purchases, but the 2 I do remember, I got Hades.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know you've been playing Hades a lot.
I enjoyed Hades.
I only had a chance to play it for maybe 30, 45 minutes. But I love it so far.
Awesome. It's pretty legit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the first roguelite the second I've ever enjoyed.
Yeah. So
The Wizard one?
Yeah, Wizard of Legend. Mm. That was a good one.
And I also got one called Blasphemous, which is sort of a detailed pixel art.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Souls game.
Yeah. Heard it's very tough, so. That one I'll look forward to. And I got 2 others. I forget, I don't even remember what they were, but they weren't particularly high-profile titles. So... I know. Oh, that's what I was going to bring up was that one of the ones that was on sale, and I think it's still on sale for a couple more days. I may bite the bullet on it, but it's what is that? Three Houses game?
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem Three Houses and the expansion for $41.
Okay,
totally worth it.
Yeah, that seemed like it might be a good
totally
buy.
Worth it.
I really like that one. It it doesn't have like all of like the excess fat that because you played Fire Emblem Fates, yeah. One of the versions of Fire Emblem Fates, where you know you had all like the base building and all like the side missions and stuff that you can go on to grind, yeah. And like all these like different characters you can recruit. It's much more of a God, I want to use the word traditional Fire Emblem, but it's not. It's a more streamlined. It's a more straightforward. Like this is going to be your next mission. Go do it. You can take on side missions, but they're not going to have like that glut of like here's all this different stuff you can do, and here's like all your base building stuff that you're going to want
to
do.
Side missions are pretty much there just to kind of do a little XP grind and stuff.
Yeah, and you don't need to do any of them. There
helps a little. It helps to do a couple here and there.
But there are going to be like side quests and stuff. You can talk to like different characters and try to build your affinity, and they'll like some of them will ask you to do side quests for them. But you can just focus on playing the game if you're not having fun with all that other stuff.
Gotcha.
But yeah,
it's a big game though. There's a lot. That's
a lot going on there.
That's a beefy game.
I played it 4 times.
Yeah, I got through almost twice.
Do you, if you do end up getting it, are you leaning in any particular direction, like which faction?
I don't even know what the factions are.
Okay,
I know there's one that's a deer.
That's the one to go with.
Mm-hmm. That's the one John really likes. Is the one I haven't played.
Golden Deer.
I do want to play the Golden Deer campaign.
Isn't there one that's like red?
Yeah, there's a no. It's a Black Eagles.
But their dominant color
purple
is
Purple
Parrots
and the Silver Snakes too.
God, if only.
Yeah.
I used to have that T-shirt, a Silver Snakes T-shirt.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, Blue Barracudas, I think, is the way you go.
They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, I did the Black Eagles. Is it Black Eagles?
Yeah.
I did them, and that one actually has a branch off path.
Mm,
so okay. There's one of them that I chose. It's actually the shortest one out of all three of them.
Yeah.
And then there's one that's longer, and then the other two are just their own straight campaigns.
Yeah.
One is just like, let's just torch the school.
So there's four campaigns.
Let's just get the fuck out of here and torch the school.
There's four campaigns in the so. It's a lot of replayability and everything, but it's a good game.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, like it seemed like some of the sales were ending when I made these purchases, like in 1 day, and then a bunch were listed as 6 days.
Mm.
So it seems like they staggered the sales for some reason. So I guess there's probably still something going on.
And you like, have to take a look. I didn't know what was going on. I hope I didn't miss anything good.
I think it's up to the discretion of the publisher how long they're putting things on sale.
It was a lot of stuff. I feel like probably a third of the catalog felt like it was on sale. Like I just went through my wish list, and like a third of it was marked down.
I opened up the eShop and just went to the great deal section. It's over 1,600 games that are currently on sale. I don't know if it's all related to like the E3 goings on, but
1,200 of them are Dragon Ball.
Alright, so next up we're going to do
the official, right?
No, the retro. We gotta get to the retro show.
Oh, right, we gotta do a retro
and then we'll do a course correction in July. We'll get it all straightened out, but yeah, it's gonna be a good retro show.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we got Patriot and Gone in 60 Seconds.
I'm not watching any of those movies.
I mean, outside of the movies, it's going to be a good retro show.
Are you watching any of those movies?
I mean, at this point, it's pretty much those movies for me. Because the last few ones we did, like, I don't give a fuck about this game. Like,
yeah.
Excite Bike, I don't care. Like,
is that what this Kirby game's about?
Yeah, that's the Kirby game. Kirby and the Crystal Shards is the main N64 game.
You must love it with all that plastic around it.
It just came in. Yeah. I just ordered it.
You should see his penis.
Hey, yeah.
So, the other big N64 game, I guess big in quotes, is StarCraft. StarCraft got an N64 port.
That's wild.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy that cartridge because it's expensive.
Yeah, that's a no.
But we get to talk about StarCraft a little bit, which I like.
I love StarCraft as well.
And, there was a Game Boy game. A port of an NES game came to Game Boy Crystallis.
Yeah.
And that one I have played, so that'll be interesting to talk about. And there's games on other systems. A couple of PC games that you mentioned.
Yeah, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about them. One I know I spent too much time talking about. So
it'll be a footnote. Any weird vertically challenged bands to discuss? Or?
I actually get to tell you about... So remember the Dwarves?
Yeah.
Their singer,
the joke of vertically challenged.
Yeah, the singer Black Dahlia has a restraining order against one of the guys who released an album next month, 21 years ago, that we're going to talk about.
Oh, interesting.
That's the
band. Everything about this band is iconic to me.
Oh man, it was a really good month for music. What it lacked in movies, I think it made up for in music. And I still have three movies to talk about.
Yeah, you sent the Spotify playlist. Wait, what's on your movie list?
The three animated features: Fantasia 2000, the Titan A.E. And Chicken Run.
Mm. Tiny E came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah! Do you know why I named my island in
Bob?
You named it Bob. I named my island Bob.
Really?
And under like the character like thing, you can say something with your whatever, like a comment.
Okay.
Under your passport, and it says you don't have to live on Bob.
Anyway, well, we'll get into details on the retro show, but I'm not going to make it to the end of the Patriot. I've tried twice now, and I'm not going to make it to the end.
Oh come on, the bayonet to the throat. That's the best.
That movie is so fucking problematic. Anyway, that's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Bye.